Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter.
At ESPN 1000.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Lacker too, try to say, hey Brian, why don't you call into Waddle and Sylvie? Trying to take credit for that. There's no cheating in this game.
No, there's not.
It's been fun. It's been, I gotta say, Waddle, this has been the wildest 2 hours that we've had in a long time. It's just been a wild ride.
It is. It's every now and again, you know, you just
it's been fun though.
Keep your head on a swivel.
We hit a little speed bump.
Just a reminder that you've always got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah. Waddle always gets a little nervous, too, when Mike Singletary's on the phone.
Well, I got yelled at because you told, you know, you asked him about taking his pants off at one time. I mean, he wasn't happy with me, and it wasn't me that took us down that road.
See, what you should have asked him now is, hey, you're at home, you're quarantined, pants on or off.
If I recall, Sylvie said something along the lines, Mike, what were you thinking? What was your plan of attack or something
Something that was not, you know, and I paid the price for it there, Jack.
Because then you saw him at, like, the anniversary, right?
At a great celebration for the
Did he have his pants
team.
On?
You asked him.
Stop.
You asked him for a pep talk. Shouldn't you have said, hey, Mike, give us pants off pep talk right now?
I want winners. I love Singletary, though. I mean, he was a huge figure in my childhood, that whole 85 Bears team. And then how about the news, Waddle, that the Last Dance documentary, that what many people have been hoping for, what many people have been asking for, that they are going to get, that ESPN rides in as a hero. And what is the date? Is it April 19th?
April 19th is
going to be the date. April 19th, debuting at 8 o'clock Central Time. You'll have the first episode of The Last Dance on ESPN.
We're going to have the first two, right? Aren't
yes,
you gonna
yeah, you're right.
Two
so,
by two?
So they're going to be airing two episodes every Sunday for 5 Sundays in a row.
Right.
So I cannot wait because I obviously covered these teams. I watched the first three-peats as a fan. I was lucky to grow up with season tickets in my house, not because we were high rollers. My grandfather had them, then my uncle had them and allowed me to go to all the games. But because at first, before Michael, these tickets were never in demand. And so it was something that my grandfather went to from the first day that they came into existence in 66, 67. So I grew up going to games in the 70s, got to witness the three championships. Then I was a young reporter at GN and covered these last three championships. And this one will specifically chronicle the last championship, the Last Dance, as they called it. I think Phil Jackson dubbed it that. And so,
and our friend, well, we can call him a friend, Jason Hare is the producer. Correct?
Which director? So, Jason Hare did remember the Bears documentary?
Yeah.
And then also, what did we have? He also did another one, too.
He did the one on Andre the Giant as well.
That's right, for 30, HBO. Right? That's right, yeah, for HBO. Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Cap was debating today which three-peat team is better. You know,
I would rely on you because you were the Bulls guy at that time covering the second three-peat and obviously were an avid fan. I don't remember a ton. I remember just in general them being the biggest story in the world of sports, but I don't remember with the same degree of, you know, detail that you do.
Well, and like I saw there was a lot of, they did a back and forth. It was a question too that they threw out. Nick was a part of a discussion with some of the NBA guys. There was an article that one of you guys tweeted to me about like which, and they asked that question and Nick said, well, I would say the last three-peat team because they beat better teams.
Right.
They beat the Orlando Magic with Shaq and Penny. They beat Karl Malone and John Stockton. They beat Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. But I would say that like the 90-91 Bulls had to go through that Pistons team that beat them every single year to beat them. Like they didn't go through scrubs. They went through the 76ers with Charles Barkley. They went through then in the last championship, the 70s, the Suns with Charles Barkley. Those Cavs teams were great. I always talk about that. Those Cavs team in my world, they probably would have won a championship if not for, you know, the Bulls being in that division and being in that Eastern Conference. They were stacked. And it was the end of the Boston Celtics. The Celtics were still pretty good, you know, in the early 90s.
So what is the essence of this is that in the final year, the Bulls, Jerry Reinsdorf and Phil Jackson and everyone involved allowed for a group to follow them all over the place for the entire season, correct?
Yeah, and no one, I don't think any, how do you keep
that? I had never heard about this.
How do you keep that in a house for how many years this is now? 22 years?
Yeah, and why now? I mean, I know why they moved up the screening of this or the showing of this because of the situation we're in, but who decided that 2020 was finally the year where this was going to be brought to the public's attention?
I don't know. Did Michael own? Yeah, did Michael own the rights?
This is from memory that I've heard, because Bill Simmons obviously was really a critical part in producing a lot of the 30 for 30s. And right. I've heard him talk about on his podcast how they knew that Jordan had a bunch of footage from the last season, and they were always trying to get it in some way to be worked into a 30 for 30. But they obviously had to go through Jordan. They had to get, you know, some approval from him because he obviously, I think, owned the footage.
So like when they went through this exercise, was it, did Michael initially own this? Did he buy it? How did
I don't
he
know.
And
I don't think that story has been made public, and hopefully maybe we can.
And is this the reason why he doesn't talk much? Because all these stories, they want debuted on this, and he wants debuted on
how
this.
How surprised do you think we're going to be with some of the stuff that we see?
Well, I've heard through other people. Then I saw Wayne Drays, our good buddy who works for ESPN, tweet about it because he knows people who were in on this project, and they would tell him the stories that these are not like 85 Bears stories right. that you've heard 30 different times
right.
and are still
new.
Entertaining, that these are new uncensored things that you will get taken inside practices and locker rooms, and you will hear stories about this team that you never knew, that
which
will
is,
be new,
which is great.
And you will see that what a jerk Michael could be to his fellow teammate.
How long is each episode? Is it
I think
an
it's
hour?
An hour long each
wow,
episode.
That's, yeah,
it's
so 10
total
hours.
Episodes, 10 hours. You get 2 hours a night for 5 consecutive Sundays.
And then do you think when we're all done with this, we're going to say, wow, you could have, like we say in a lot of series, you could have done that in 4 series? Or you think that because it's Michael and it's that Bulls team, that you're going to be on the edge of your seat for all 10 episodes?
I think you're going to be on the edge of your seat. I mean, think about everything was going on. They knew it was the last time they were, I mean, like what dynasty knows that you're probably going through this the last time?
Can I right. tell you, I think right now, where we're at as a country, there is no way, no how anybody will be saying to themselves that you could have wrapped this up quicker. I think we'll be eating it
we'll,
up.
We'll want more.
Especially locally.
So what do you believe, like some of the good conversations are, how will this rate?
Everyone's, I think this will be the. I don't think that. I think this
they're
will be
airing
the,
on ABC, right?
That I don't know.
You know, the release don't they, said ESPN.
So it's just ESPN.
Don't they then get released via Netflix?
Yes.
Worldwide
so the night
afterwards?
They'll be available on Netflix the very next day.
So okay. The live showing, will this be higher rated than say an opening round playoff NBA game?
Like
we're
I think
like
so.
I'm
yes.
trying to think
yes.
of like where yeah. in the I would like you have a captive audience, as captive of an audience as you've ever had television wise. There is no sports on TV. People are thirsting for something new. Not only are you giving them something new, you are giving them
Michael.
The greatest all-time athlete ever.
I think especially the first episode we might I wouldn't be surprised if we see close to like a Sunday football rating.
Really?
I was just going to say, well, the what was it? At least 7 or 8 of the top 10 highest rated shows last year and every year are Sunday night football
yeah.
games on NBC.
Yes.
That's what I was going to. I didn't know if I should go there or not. Like, would it be on par with a nationally televised football game?
That might, for me, that might be a little ambitious, but
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if we see it. Like, because
well, again,
there's no other sports to watch. What are you competing
against? But I do think that, you know, the. I do think that the capacity to binge watch other shows may take something away from it, but. But look, I mean, you,
but
first
we've been
of all,
binging
to,
for a while too.
Well, I know, but you like, where does the NBA in terms of ratings stack up with the NFL?
Not close.
Okay, so I think you will close that gap some for a number of reasons. A, it's the only sports, unique new sports, television
like
out there.
I bet it'll probably,
and it's Michael.
I think it'll outrate what a typical NBA Finals game.
Oh,
would
I think so too.
Yeah, I didn't know if I should go there.
I don't know about that.
I don't know anything about this
because
sort
it's
of stuff.
Also not something that you have to watch right away.
That's true because you could watch it.
Yeah, but
at a later time.
You can record it and I know.
Going to serve the purpose, I think, for a lot of people of live sports. It's
right.
And we're all wanting live sports right now.
Yes.
I'm very surprised. I'm not telling the company how to do their job, but I'm surprised that they're giving us only 5 days of it.
Instead of doing an
hour each day or doing an hour for 10 weeks. It's like, we don't know how long this is
going to
last.
So it's for Chicago, it's going to be on Sundays from 8 to 10 o'clock our time, correct?
Yeah, correct.
And then every week leading up to that 8 to 10, they're going to replay the previous two episodes. So when they air 3 and 4, they're going to be airing leading up to that 1 and 2.
Which
so
got to remember
like four
as well.
Total hours
well,
on
yeah,
those
remember
days.
What Wilbon told us, was it last week or 2 weeks ago when we were talking to him about this? And he was saying, look, why wouldn't ESPN spread this out, do a studio show beforehand, do a studio, you know, have people, I know people have to be
like
at home.
Like the draft.
For yeah, do it something like that where you have people who are connected to it. He would probably be involved with it.
Yes.
Is have him, you know, on there with other people. Probably Mike Greenberg, who covered Jordan during this time and that kind of thing. Have those guys do something around. Well, it doesn't sound like it if they're going to be running the previous two episodes before they run the next two episodes.
I think it's hard because of the environment to put together a show these days.
I know.
But I think that the original plan was to do it this way. Their plan was to air 2 hours between every NBA Finals game. That's what I had heard several months ago. I've talked about it on the show. Their plan was on off nights for the NBA Finals, you would play 2 hours of this. You'd have an NBA Finals game, two more hours of this, game three. You know what I mean? And they would own the night every night of the week for the 2 weeks with this and the NBA Finals playing. That was the ESPN plan originally.
I think this is going to be an enormous hit for them ratings-wise. I'd be interested as well to see just how big a number they get.
If you want to weigh in on this, and again, ESPN did great work getting this ready, getting this out. Abdallah, don't come in here this second. Trust me. And we have lots of fun coming up, including the Final Four. I gave you a heads up. I just ate eggs.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, what did you do? Did you just pollute the studio?
And we've got...
Are you twitching, too? Is there a twitch?
No, it's the camera's on me, but I don't think it's on today. We've also need your Would You Rathers. I'm telling you. Yeah,
did you break it? Did you break the camera?
Yeah. We want your Would You Rather entries. Bob Tewksbury, Would You Rather entry.
Would you
themes.
Rather talk to Bob Tewksbury or...
or The Wall. I think I'd feel better after talking to The Wall, actually.
Bob, can you please pick me up? I'm having a rough go of it. I'm not here to talk to you about making you feel better.
You're going
to
have to fend for yourself, kid. So send us a use the hashtag WS Would You Rather. 4:30 for Would You Rather. We've got our Final Four today. It has to do with an anniversary of Waddle's favorite or one of your favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
We'll do that coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
You look like a Helen. Helen, we're both in sales. Let me tell you why I suck as a salesman. Let's say I go into some guy's office. Let's say he's even remotely interested in buying something. Well, then I get all excited. I'm like JoJo, the idiot circus boy with a pretty new pet. The pet is my possible sale. Oh, my pretty little pet. I love you. So I stroke it, and I pet it, and I massage it. Yeah, I love it. I love my little naughty pet. You're naughty. And then I take my naughty pet and I go. Oh! I killed it! I killed my sale. That's when I blow it. But that's when people like us have got to forge ahead, Helen. Am I right?
You better sing this. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
There you go. 25 years ago today.
That's unbelievable.
Tommy Boy debuted in theaters. Chris Farley doing his thing.
One of my favorite pictures in my my office is me and Farley.
When did you meet him?
I met him at Stanley's. I have a picture with him at Stanley's, the old bar, years and years and years ago, obviously. I mean, it was, I don't know what year it was, but it is, I don't know if you've seen it. You've seen it in my office.
Yeah, sure.
Haven't you?
Yeah, of course.
It's my favorite. It's one of my favorite pictures of all time.
And you love that movie.
Oh, God, I love the movie. I loved him. He was fantastic.
You still go down that well quite often.
Oh, yes.
You go back. I mean, Step Brothers is one of your comedies from the modern era.
Yeah, you may
find
out.
But then you go back to a lot of the Chris Farley stuff.
No question. No question.
All right, so today's Final Four topic is your favorite
guilty pleasure comedy.
Right. I was trying to phrase it the right way.
Yeah, call Bob Tewksbury. He'll get your brain undone.
So, like, when you say guilty pleasure, because I've got my list of movies.
It's loose. That's a loose thing.
It's loose because I like a lot of these movies. Like, these are some of my, like, they're not, like, right. It's not Ghostbusters. It's
okay,
not,
here,
you know.
Here, Adam, this is the way I interpreted it was. Sylvia always gives me hell for saying, hey, I liked Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2. I thought these were good movies. These are good. You know, I'm not suggesting to you that they were award-winning movies, but they're, you know, it's a guilty pleasure. An hour and 30 minutes, I sit down, I get several laughs in. That's
okay.
How I...
So it has to be a comedy, because I have one on there that's a guilty pleasure movie, but more because it's a romantic guilty pleasure.
Is it a romantic comedy?
Yeah, I don't think... No, it's not a comedy.
All right, well, we'll see.
So should I X that out? Can I tell you?
No, I think it's better if you
want me to go
entry.
First today, Waddle? Since,
yeah, go ahead.
So, like, because
we're by romantic comedy.
I originally wrote this down, so it's not going to be accepted now. I originally wrote down Titanic as number four.
Really?
I mean, I could.
Wow.
At any time.
Leo gets it done, huh?
At any time, I can watch Titanic. At any time in that movie. And I love the love story. I love the love story behind it. But since it's not a comedy... No bueno. So I could do this on the fly.
I like the idea of you putting it on your list, though.
Titanic is definitely not a comedy.
I think, you know, at this difficult time, as you go through the days, I mean, I know why you wanted to have Bob Tewksbury on. Help me, Bob. Titanic is my favorite movie at this point.
So let me go High Fidelity, then.
I feel like I'm a ship running into an iceberg, Bob. Help me. I'm not here to talk to you about that, son. I'm just not.
Did he send me too?
No, he did.
Number four, then I'll go High Fidelity. It was shot in Chicago. It was John Cusack. It's a romantic comedy about a guy going through all of his past fails in his love life, okay?
Well, you're leaning heavily on the romantic comedies.
I do. That gets it done for me, Waddle.
He likes a good cry. Leave him alone.
Well, not only that, but they're funny, too. Number three in the same vein. Julia Roberts happens to be in London, England. She's this superstar, Hollywood star, and Hugh Grant is just an everyday guy who owns a bookshop, and they find love somewhere called Notting Hill.
Get out!
What is wrong?
What
is wrong?
What do you mean? That's a romantic comedy.
Is number two, you've got mail?
These are guilty pleasures.
We need a 20. We need a real therapist in the studio.
Sleepless in Seattle's next.
Yeah.
Number two, what happens when grown-ups decide to go back to high school to see if they can write a newspaper story or perhaps be a star baseball player once again? Never been kissed.
What is
number,
what?
Number I don't know
two?
What's going on.
Who's never been kissed?
You've never
what
been
is
kissed.
That? What is that?
Drew Barrymore vehicle.
What?
And number one, okay, this is more your speed then. This is 40. Paul Rudd. It's a romantic comedy about turning 40. Leslie Mann and we're having kids and lots
did
of good.
Did you guys interpret it the same way that he did? That this
no,
list is
No, I think your own guilty pleasure could mean anything. A guilty pleasure is something that would be viewed. This is exactly what it is.
Guilty
that
pleasure
it's good
comedy.
To me, it's good to me, but it's not necessarily good to you.
Well,
so therefore, it's a guilty pleasure.
Connect any of those dots to Tommy Boy, the 25-year anniversary of Tommy Boy, and how do you connect any of those dots to
Tommy
Boy?
These are all comedies, except Titanic.
Right!
I scratched that
off. It's a tragedy.
Go ahead.
I don't want to follow that crap.
Any Reese Witherspoon vehicles on your list, Waddle?
Yes.
Number four is Gladiator. I thought that the love scene. No. Number four for me is Tommy Boy. So I thought it was a brilliant movie. I loved everything about it, but there were three others that I put ahead of it. Number three for me was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I love that movie. It touches my heart. And Del Griffith, the shower curtain ring salesman, and he ends up going home with Steve Martin for Thanksgiving. So it was funny and touching at the same time. Number two is Wedding Crashers, what I just saw recently. And the breakfast scene between...
See, like that. See, we are interpreting this differently.
Yes.
Like, Wedding Crashers, to me, is an iconic comedy where... Like, it was popular. It was, that is not a guilty pleasure. Like,
I knew
you
that
should
word
feel
was
guilty.
Gonna...
You, like, the definition of a guilty pleasure is you would feel guilty admitting to your friends that you love this movie because it's either like girly or it's because it's something that is viewed not critically acclaimed. Wedding Crasher is a hit.
Yeah, but I
that's
I interpreted
why I went where I
yeah.
went.
Okay, that's fine. I just interpreted it
like,
differently.
Grown-ups
like
Grown Ups 2 would be a guilty pleasure for you. That is not critically acclaimed.
Well,
but you love that. Like, everybody loves Wedding Crashers.
I was
yeah,
more.
But it's a movie that I would seek out on a Friday night, just hanging out and didn't have anything else to do. And I would, and number one for me was Step Brothers. So it's not like these, it was comedies, but
yeah, these
yes,
are favorite comedies then. I could go something about
yeah,
Mary.
I like your list, by the way. It's structured now, Sylvie.
Like, the term guilty pleasure means, boy, I feel really guilty admitting this to my wife that
yeah,
I love
but
Tommy these
movies. Tommy Boy, like these, maybe the best way to describe it was not critically acclaimed. Because I don't think Tommy Boy or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, they weren't critically acclaimed. Like Uncle Buck as well.
Is. Let me look at what the Rotten Tomatoes of Planes, Trains,
Automobiles. Oh, Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I was closer to you, Waddle, in your thought process
okay,
as well.
But listen, you know...
Rotten Tomatoes, Guilty Pleasure, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles has a 93% approval rate. That is like huge, hugely popular.
Yeah, I don't follow Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know what that is.
Go ahead. It's fine. It's cool.
My number four, again, I was a similar mind frame as you, Waddle. My number four is Superbad. Absolute
awesome.
Teen filth. But
love it.
The 2007
McLovin.
Classic with Jonah
right?
Hill. Yes, and McLovin. It was fantastic. If you've seen it, it's just filthy, and I love it. My number three, this might go more into your range, Shelby. My number three is Crazy Stupid Love. Every time I see it with Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, I am
that
locked in. It's been playing a lot recently on HBO.
I've never seen it.
Whoa.
It's good. It's
dude,
worth your time.
Get Allie. The next time you guys have two free hours, watch it.
Okay.
Crazy Stupid Love. Highly recommended. My number two, the Stanley Kubrick classic, Dr. Strangelove. Dude, I love that movie. And
that's a classic. Like, I bet
it
you
is.
That's ranked in the top
yeah,
five of all time
I know,
comedies.
But it is a comedy. And
I'm with you.
Nothing
but
gets it done better than that for me.
But in today's world, very few people are seeking that out to sit down and watch it.
You know
that's
what? I think it's probably better to watch today than at any other time right now.
From 1964.
And finally, Waddle, simpatico with you. My number one, Wedding Crashers. Favorite
yeah.
guilty pleasure.
Okay. Dr. Strangelove is a 98% Rotten Tomatoes
yes,
approval
it's,
list.
It's the best.
No, it's not a guilt. It's a pleasure.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, let's retitle this.
No, I gotta go. Hold on. Because I'll give you guilty pleasures. Because I had to adjust one of mine. Because I had one in and then I took it out. Phrasing. My number four, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Love
right
that movie.
There.
Love that
Me
movie.
Too.
But that's
got to
be highly rated.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rotten Tomatoes is probably, it's off
not
the chart
below
on
75.
I can throw When Nature Calls in there. I don't care. I love them
What's
both.
What's Nature Calls?
It's a sequel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. About him
Rotten
going
Tomatoes, 47% approval
Ooh,
rate
really?
for Ace Ventura. It was so, like, slapstick funny at times that turned people off. But I'm with Abdallah. I love it.
Number three, 10 Things I Hate About You.
That,
love that.
See, now we're
love
talking.
That
Only 10?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's
like
it's
a teen
the name of the
comedy,
movie.
Right?
Yeah. Number two, Super Troopers. I love Super Troopers.
Oh, that was good. That
one
was
of my
really
favorite
good.
Movies in
That's
general.
That's good.
Super Troopers. And my number one is The Wedding Singer. A little bit of romantic comedy.
I like
little
that,
A little bit
too.
Of Adam Sandler, so it's still funny. It's got some weird stuff with John Lovitz in it, so it fits the Adam Sandler mold, but it's also more mainstream because of the romantic comedy-ness of it.
Na, 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 na.
Yeah, you heard me.
So that's, yeah.
Number one, The Wedding Singer for me.
The Wedding Singer. I like it.
Okay, so maybe we just had a little, you know, we had a little hiccup there in terms of, you know, how we looked at it. No big whoop.
Because a lot, like, Wedding Crashers is probably on my list or Step Brothers of top four favorite comedies.
Yeah.
Like, if we were just to do, hey, maybe what's your favorite comedy movie of all time?
Maybe I should just, I should have described it as the not critically acclaimed.
Right. But again, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but Rotten Tomatoes is Rotten Tomatoes. Critically acclaimed, I mean, it was recognized with awards.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, I'm done caricaturing.
Who cares? Yeah, we're talking about movies. 312-332-3776. Brian Urlacher is going to join us at 5. Last call for your Would You Rather entries. Hashtag it WS Would You Rather. This has been one of the wildest rides we've ever been on the Waddle and Sylvie Show.
Yes.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Twitter's on fire today, too. Everything today has been fun in a kind of a weird way, trying to get through these times.
Fun weird.
So, hey, buckle up and...
You said, you know, buckle, right?
Yeah, and just maybe laugh along the way. Charlie Schmidt. I said Schmidt. Tweeted, he says, you know we're going through a tough time when the biggest debate on Waddle and Sylvie is what a guilty pleasure movie is.
That's true. I'm trying to take a picture of my picture of Chris Farley and me and put it out on Twitter because someone was asking.
Yeah, you should do that. You got some good pictures in there, don't you? Who's on your wall?
I have me and squaring off with Dion. I have...
Dion Miller from ABC 7 when you guys were doing
Love Dion Miller, but no Deion Sanders. Myself and Jeff Garlin. I have a picture of a champion ad I did years ago. I got my grandma and grandpa Hawkins. They're both deceased, but their memory lives on. My wife and I at that Mexican vacation we went on with the station.
Right.
Picture of me and 10 other guys that we were winners of the National College Football Foundation Hall of Fame Scholar Athlete Awards.
Ooh.
My father-in-law and Babe Parilli kicking a field goal. Another picture of me burning Dion.
You have two Dion pictures?
I do. Picture of my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, Teddy Kennedy, and Joan Kennedy. Picture of my mother-in-law and Tony Bennett, his wife. What else do I have? I think that's it. Oh, no, I have a picture of me making a catch that the late Joe Paterno said was the greatest catch he ever saw in college football. And me diving for a pass in the end zone against the Washington Redskins, which I didn't catch. But enough about me.
I love that. That's cool. Didn't you have a John Fox picture?
I don't.
I thought you and John Fox were in the there was a picture of you guys in there. No.
I don't think so. There's a picture of me and you at the the Kentucky Derby from however many years ago.
The reason that got placed there was because maybe this is what I'm thinking of. During the Super Bowl party that you had, that John Fox was there towards the end when I had quite a few glasses of wine. I think I was yelling at you and Foxy that you have a picture of all these people, but I'm your longest teammate.
That's right.
And you
That's
never right. had a picture of me.
That
and
is correct.
And I was
correct.
Trying to rationalize with Foxy.
And who sent me that picture of the two of us standing in the hotel lobby at the Kentucky Derby? I forget who did.
Who sent it to you?
Yes. Somebody sent that to me.
Like a listener?
I don't remember who. I'm not sure.
That was fun. If it would not have rained, it could have been one of the trips for the ages.
It was still awesome.
I think you guys, you just have the picture because I remember taking that picture. So
it was in the lobby of that hotel, right?
Yeah.
Somebody gave it to me. One of my favorites is a picture of my mother-in-law, Tony Bennett, and two women with heaters in their hands.
That's fantastic.
Just black and white pictures.
That is great. Tony Bennett.
It's great.
Mike and Dyer, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I just wanted to help you guys define what a guilty pleasure is. If you're sitting around with like 10 of your buddies having a couple pops, and one of you says they like a movie, and 2 out of 10 guys look at you like you're crazy, that means that's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah,
or, I'm sorry, 8 out of 10 guys, that's a guilty pleasure. Tom Waddle, you listed off like there's no one that would disagree with you that any of those movies are great.
Okay, like everybody simmered down now. I may have advertised it a little bit different. You know,
like no maybe, one's going to look at you crazy because you said Step Brothers is a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, but Step Brothers was not like critically acclaimed. Like nobody was touting Step Brothers. It became like a cult film. So maybe it was poorly described that it was my top four favorite comedies that weren't critically acclaimed.
Like
that's
why I was ready to be made fun of. Like, I know that Notting Hill is not something that every guy listening to the Waddle and Sylvie show would stop on if they were going through the channels. But if I get Julia Roberts when she's this big Hollywood star in England to promote a movie, and Hugh Grant is just this innocent dude who owns a bookstore, and they fall in love and she comes over for dinner with all her his English relatives, that gets it done in my book. But when I admit that, people make fun of me for admitting it.
Yeah, I don't think people are making fun of you.
I think you guys were.
I think maybe. Yeah, I think what we were doing was taking advantage of the situation, knowing that you were down and knowing that the attempt with Bob Tewksbury just fell flat. I think what we did is we piled on. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe we piled on. Yeah, good pile on.
You just got Tewksbury'd.
What would we call this? Did you get Tewksed?
Yeah.
Did you get buried?
Tewksbury'd. Yeah, I like that.
You got Tewksbury'd.
Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah. James in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, James?
Hey guys, how you doing? I just got a list for you, and I tried to come up with stuff that's not super popular. Number four, I'd put Not Another Teen Movie. It's got a young Chris Evans in it, and it kind of spoofs all the John Hughes movies. I thought that was pretty good. Number three is Waiting with Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Number two was Hot Rod with Andy Samberg. And then number one, I put Freddy Got Fingered with Tom Green.
There you go. Yeah. Tom Green, but he was funny back in the day. He was, what was the road trip at one time was one of my favorite comedies. That was a good, do you remember
who was in Road Trip?
Road Trip was
Amy Smart.
Amy
was
Smart.
She in it?
When I fell in love with Amy Smart.
Amy Smart, Tom Green, DJ Qualls was the really skinny guy.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good movie.
Oh, that had the peanut butter dog joke, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I remember that one for.
Joe Dirt. How about Joe Dirt? Is Joe Dirt a good guilty comedy, guilty pleasure comedy?
Now you're getting it.
Okay,
yes.
Joe Dirt.
Yes. Andy's in New Lenox, our buddy. Andy, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're hanging in.
Okay.
We're feeling down. We're feeling down. No, pick me
now.
Up.
We're okay now.
I wanted to give you Let me give you my list of my guilty pleasure movies. I was telling Abdallah the number one guilty pleasure movie for any guy, if you guys have seen it, is Mean Girls. I mean, it's hilarious, extremely funny movie, but it's basically about high school girls and but it's just a very funny movie. But
gotta admit, Christmas Day I went saw Mean Girls downtown.
You hated it, didn't you, Waddle?
With my wife and daughters. Hate's a strong word, but it was not a guilty pleasure.
But you had, but truth be told, I talked to you about this before
The movie.
You had never seen the movie, and you need to see Lindsay Lohan in the movie to actually, I think, appreciate the musical. Probably,
I think you need to see Gretchen Wieners in the movie.
Excuse me, what? You don't want to see Gretchen's what?
Right. Yes. Yeah, she's a favorite. And then, obviously, one Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, not Excellent Adventure, Bogus Journey.
That would be a guilty pleasure.
That's a good one. They got to stop the battle of the bands. But I wanted to give a quick shout-out. I'm actually working right now for Culligan Water.
Hey, Culligan Man!
Exactly.
You're our Culligan Man!
I hear that 100 times a day. They have been awesome. I usually work for do the G League games with the Bulls, but obviously that has all gone to the side. So luckily, Culligan is still open for people who need water. We're going into houses, having to do all that. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out to those guys.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like when people call. And don't forget, during any of these times, we always welcome anybody to call in. If you think like there's a part of society today that's not getting proper attention, or you just wanted to continue to give them attention, we're always here to give you the floor to let us know about them. Like we've mentioned a million times, these delivery and carryout places, all these people are just trying to stay afloat while this is all going on. Hardworking people. The service industry is hard enough. when you can't open up your restaurants and you just have to work on a delivery or carry out business. The drivers who are delivering the food who still have to, you know, be a pretty important thing for families to get the food delivered to their door. There's still a lot of people going to work every day.
How about the people stocking shelves at grocery stores and pharmacies and everything like that?
They're in a group. If there was a top 10 list of unsung heroes, and maybe that's too small of a list, they would make my top 10.
Yeah.
Because grocery stores are as busy as they've been because everyone continues to need to supply up. If anything, you need to supply more because you're not going out.
Stop all the jackass behavior in the toilet paper aisle, too. Please.
Yeah.
Stop.
Wait, so what was the video that Caliendo sent out where somebody was spitting on fruit and then got karate chopped? Did you see that? Have you seen that?
I did see it, yeah. I think it was a grocery store employee that did the... delivered the blow, isn't it?
That somebody was what? As during the coronavirus, was like trying to like spit on food or something? Was that real or was that from before all this happened?
I don't know. I did see it.
I don't think this was in relation to that, but remember, there was a person who actually went into a grocery store and coughed all over a bunch of produce and vegetables and basically said, hey, I have the coronavirus, costing a grocery store, I think, like $30,000 in products because they had to obviously just get rid of it.
Yeah, crazy.
Did you see the guy, like, prior to all of this going the direction it did as well, the guy in the grocery store that was drinking soup out of the ladle?
No.
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, that was, like, the most popular thing on Twitter.
During all this, he's drinking out of the ladle?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was occurring. It was like a timely, like... I don't think it was, like, date sensitive, but it resurfaced it over the last couple weeks.
See, here's the deal. Even if you're not dealing with a great pandemic, drinking soup out of the ladle at the grocery store...
You never get out of the self-serve aisle again.
You need to go...
I'm going to Google
straight that. Back to go and pay $200. Go to jail and pay $200.
All right. So better late than never with Would You Rather. We'll do that coming up next. So it's your last chance to get it in. And you got an hour more today and the rest of the week to have your celebrities call in. Remember, this is the biggest name drop contest. Hank Azaria called today. We had Patrick Renna called in, who played a Ham Porter in one of our favorite movies, The Sandlot. Who else? Mike Singletary called in today.
Chris Cluey
was a great guest, actually, former punter. So we've had four good guests today. You can still have them call in. We'll have our friend, Brian Urlacher, join us at 5.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olsen here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Stick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
Right, would you rather? Usually at 4:30. We're a little late, but we had some great callers and good interaction today. A lot of surprise guests with the contest. It's brought to you by our friends at Grand and Western Liquors, located right there at the corner of...
I believe it's at Grand and Western.
They are. And they'll pass the savings along to you as times get better. You'll still have a chance to win a $50 gift certificate. And keep in mind, Grand and Western Liquors, number one in beer. And they've got everything. So when you can get back there, go say hi to my guy, Alex. And they'll pass the savings along to you. All right, boys, what do we have?
All right, gentlemen, I think this is appropriate for today. Kevin, he wants to know, would you rather, for your life coach, have Bob Tewksbury or Jim Boylan?
I think Jim Boylan's going to pick you up, even if he's
blowing. May drop you on your head, but he's going to pick you up.
He's going to give you maybe some BS, but sometimes you could use a little BS.
Yeah, I was going to say, silly one, you want him to blow sunshine and rainbows up your backside, huh? All right. I'll go with Jim Boylan, too.
And you're a big fan of the timeout. You say a lot during the show, I need a 20. Jim Boylan will call a quick timeout every now and then.
Listen, I'm going with Jim Boylan. I'm with you. If I'm going to go to, like, a haunted house, I'll go with Bob.
It was something. It's definitely a must listen to interview. I now know, like, people always ask me, because we usually don't have them. Like you said, it's been a stinker free zone recently. Like when people say, what is like one of the worst interviews you've ever had? And I never really remember. I've got one now.
Hell yeah.
Then I could go back. Not Jim Boylan, actually.
No, not
Did
Jim
you
Boylan.
Guys have another? Because I don't. Someone tweeted this. I'm trying to find it. I just scrolled past it. This one about. Did you guys have a bad Bernard Berrian interview?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So someone. That's one that always comes to mind. Someone, would you rather interview Tewksbury or Bernard Berrian again?
It was. I think we were at Morton's, the steakhouse up north in Northbrook, for a lunch with a legend with somebody. And earlier in the show, we had Bernard Berrian, I think, when he just signed with the Vikings.
He had just left the Bears.
Or it was like Bears-Vikings week, and we were like, that was the day when we used to put on like... That was the day the music died.
Eye on the enemy.
Right, we would get a Chad Greenway on the show. Hey, he's from Chicago. We'd always get like someone from the opposing team that we thought would be a good interview.
Oh, Chris Cluey. Let's put Chris Cluey on.
Chris Cluey was a great interview.
He was.
Yeah, I liked Chris Cluey.
Most interesting Viking.
Yes. But we had Berrian on, and he did not want to be there, like Waddle always says.
Willing participant.
Yes.
I mean, that's more important to me.
All celebrities have been very willing participants so far.
Hank, do we have the clip to play, too, for this show, about what he said about Trubisky?
Yes.
We'll play that in the 5 o'clock hour.
Why don't we bounce out at 5 o'clock? We can do that.
Okay, 5 o'clock before Urlacher.
And when you insulted his character, Brock Meyer, who had given up drinking, and you were...
Here was the problem. I watched only the first season of Brock Meyer.
Yes. Me too.
And it was very good.
And all I remember is he would get drunk every show. He would get drunk during the game. That many scenes were shot at the bar. And so I said, you know, we're all in quarantine. What's your favorite booze these days? Brock, he was doing Brock Meyer. And he says, well, I've gone sober these.
Would you gentlemen rather be quarantined with Ryan Pace or John Paxson?
I think John Paxson. I would go with Pax.
I mean, listen, I like both guys.
Are we putting on the 1993 Eastern Illinois Panther tape, or are we putting on the 1993 NBA Finals? I think I'd rather rewatch the NBA Finals.
I think the answer is you're watching the Sun Bowl.
Do we both have to wear fake mustaches and ball caps?
No.
Okay.
He's not scouting us. Do you think Ryan Pace will be better in the draft because he can't overthink
this? He's not
going
to get a chance to talk to people?
Well, that's kind of what he did with Mitch.
Right. Listen, this is, I just think that now you're going to rely less on, and I'm not suggesting that the interview process doesn't carry some value, because I think it does. But if you need to know, like people say all the time, now I know that Al Michaels, our good friend Al Michaels, talks glowingly about Cade McNown, right?
Yes, now, okay, as a guy now.
Right, he's a good guy.
Because he wasn't a good guy back then.
Back then, people said all you needed to do was talk to the people at UCLA, and they would have told you that, he just wasn't the most pleasant guy on the planet at that time. Different guy now, but like, can't you get, at this point, knowing that you can't be in front of all these guys, can't you get a feeling of who that person is by talking to the important people?
Yes. Of course you can.
And then watch tape.
Well, maybe now you can't get a dinner reservation with the name James McMahon during a personal workout in North Carolina. You know what I mean? Like, now you just have to rely on the tape and your scouts.
Which, you know what? I got no problem with that. Use more of what you see than what you hear.
Like you say, think long, think wrong. Sometimes when you put too much in the combine, too much into the interview process. And remind me after we talk to Urlacher to bring up the wide receivers, because I keep seeing the Bears drafting wide receivers.
Another one?
In these mocks. And I want to bring something up to you and see if you agree with me.
Okay.
Would you rather have to e-school Buck and Bronco, as Nate said, but he means Mason and Braxton, for all of you next school year alone, or be company with Cap every day from 9 to noon over the same time frame?
I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'd rather be with my kids than with Cap.
Take that.
But the homeschooling thing, like Carmen said the other day, it's another reason why we should all appreciate teachers if you didn't before.
Listen,
like,
we're not equipped to be teachers.
No, I'm not. I'm not equipped to give my child the guidance in math and science, even on a kindergarten level. I'm stupid.
Well, you're not stupid, but I think math and all of the other subjects these days, from what I can gather, when I do pay somewhat of attention to what my 16-year-old is doing, it's different, man. They're doing things differently these days than they did back in our time.
Yes. Yes.
I couldn't teach.
And when
them.
They're at home, they want to do things you normally do at home. They don't want to do school. When they're in school, they know they're in their school environment and it's time for school. So when they're at home, they think it's playtime.
Do you think when people do the homeschooling that they're actually using previous techniques or they're using the new techniques in terms of teaching their kids?
It's a good, I would venture to say the old technique.
It depends on what you're teaching them. I mean, there's like a lot of e-learning stuff they're giving you. Like they're supplemented by some videos that will explain, you know, the process. So in that case, you can kind of just let them go through the new math the way they do it.
Remember yesterday I told you stuff to clogging up my email? That's another thing now, clogging up my email, all these lesson plans that come in every day. And then they always make a mistake on the first lesson plan. The teacher goes back, oops, I forgot to put something in, parents.
Listen. The catalog email from Bed Bath & Beyond is clogging up your email, not the lesson plans that you're supposed to be relaying to your children.
They do send like four a day.
I know, but buying things at half price at Bed Bath & Beyond,
30%.
Whatever it is, a great store is not as important as the lessons that are being sent to you to send along to your children.
50% off sale.
Do you have one more quickly?
No.
No? Okay. We're back in 2 minutes with Brian Urlacher.